everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GabPod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This is an interesting episode because it was recorded on November 4th, 2016, so it's the final episode we recorded before the 2016 election. It's pretty interesting, and it's actually not the worst place to start if you've never heard the show. So without further ado, here's episode 19 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, though, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby, sitting in Washington, D.C.
My name is Chris Kelly, calling in from Cambridge, Maryland.
How is Cambridge?
Don't ask.
Well, I don't think I've been to Cambridge, Maryland.
There's no reason to be. It's on the Eastern Shore. It's one of the little towns along 50. I got some really good barbecue last night, but I wouldn't make the trip just for Cambridge. So,
any specific plugs for barbecue?
The Talbot Smokehouse.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah. Do they happen to serve?
Doing plugs.
Do they sell JR's barbecue sauce there?
They did not. So I take back the plug.
That's right.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay, so this is, I think, our last show before the election.
Yeah, this is currently Friday, November 4th, about 9 a.m. So a few hours before any, like, final bombshells will come out before GOTV weekend. we recorded this one just as the most, I can't believe that was a week ago, but just as the most recent FBI, you know, interference in the election was happening.
Let's call it what it is. It was the FBI swerved. Swerved got renewed, and they decided to go with the FBI.
You get swerved.
You're watching Swerved, starring James Comey. I think the thing is, with anything that happens at this point now, as we've seen, generally and just larger, like the point of why Trump has been bulletproof, but like it's also like way too late to actually affect. This is a ground game now. There's 4 days into the election. People have made up their minds. I think there was a poll, like something like 80% of people in this poll were like disgusted with the campaign, and it was just like it's done. I mean, we're just going. We did the go home show, and now we just have a few days until the big pay per view.
The video packages have been made. If someone gets busted for steroids, they're still going to compete, but they're going to get a fine the next day.
It's going to come out on what? Yeah, it'll come out on Wednesday. Yeah, I mean, unless you know the finish has to get changed at the last minute, but I think you know, I think we're on the path here. But there were still a few things that, for our purposes. Still able to get some fun out of this hellish campaign. There was, you know, I'm pretty sure this was a Fahrenthold piece doing great work at the Post about the lack of Trump's charity giving. But basically, there's this one instance that really caught my eye. In '97, Trump was the principal for a day at a public school in the Bronx, and the chess team was holding a bake sale. They were 5,000 short of what they needed to travel to a tournament. So he hands them a fake $1 million bill, and the teacher and the team parents, the volunteers, everyone's thrilled. And then they look and realize what it was. And then he gave them $200 and drove away in a limousine, which is like the most $1 million man, Ted DiBiase thing that he's ever done. I think.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah.
I think this is the same article that has him showing up on stage at like an AIDS charity to make it seem like he contributed to the charity, but he didn't.
Yeah. Apparently you can just do that if you're just a white guy. Like you can just show up and be like, yeah, I like charity.
It's just odd. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, the AIDS charity, also this charity stuff is coming back, and I kind of had forgotten, you know, in the research for our book, the Donald, how Trump turned presidential politics and the pro wrestling, I had forgotten the whole thing of when he was consulting with Mike Tyson.
Yes.
And had offered to take, like, this has been coming back up in the news, and he basically had offered, like, hey, that money I loaned you, like, you know, if you do this, we'll give it to charity, we'll give it to AIDS charities, we'll do it all this. It was all this, like, social justice stuff that he would not be fighting for now.
Hold on. The president's flying over. That's not a JK. Just, there's helicopters. For those that don't understand this, there are three helicopters whenever the president's helicopter takes off, because there's always three, just in case something horrible happens. So you'll hear helicopters quite a bit, especially during campaign season in Washington, D.C. And that's it. All right, continue. I apologize.
Yeah. Yeah, no problem. So, I mean, it was another thing where Trump got the rub of giving, to use a wrestling term, of using, you know, looking like he's giving money to charity or planning to give money to charity, but like the money that with Tyson never showed up, the money at this AIDS charity, you know, it never is actually there, which is the con of his whole charity giving and of his whole campaign and his whole, his career. So that one really made me think.
Unlike the WWE, who actually has to give money to charity and actually just won some awards for Connor's Cure, their cancer charity.
Do they win real awards, or is this like the awards that they, where they're like the number one rated blah, blah, blah?
Oh, the number one rated blah, blah, blah.
Okay. They're the best people giving an award called the Connor's Cure. That's the thing.
They're great.
Yes, and so I'm currently unable to look it up, but do you remember if DiBiase's at WrestleMania 4?
DiBiase is at WrestleMania 4. There's actually one of the only famous photos backstage, in addition to the Hulk Hogan and the Andre the Giant press conference, is the Million Dollar Man and Virgil with Trump and friends backstage.
Nice. So that's our segue there. Also at WrestleMania 4 is a guy named Robert Labuti. You probably never heard of him unless you're really into the New Jersey and New York mob in the late 80s, or you're really into gambling. He was a reputed mob figure, and a big fish at the Trump at the Plaza. He's been frequently said to, you know, had a relationship with Trump in the 80s, and Trump denies ever meeting him or knowing him, just full denial. So he's sitting next to Trump, the Donald and Ivana at WrestleMania 4.
No, you're right. I completely apologize. It is Ivana. I get confused because Marla Maples was also there. I apologize.
Right. That is the confusing thing. That's like a key WrestleMania thing, and they tell you this every year, but you don't bring your wife and your mistress to WrestleMania.
Come on, guys.
It's a real amateur move. Yeah. And not only was this mob guy sitting next to the Trump, but he was, you know, they were the guests of Donald Trump. And I just love the way this was reported. Like, we watched this, we looked at that picture, I've probably seen it a bunch of times. I didn't know what Robert Labuti looked like, you didn't, we didn't know this was something we were supposed to be looking for, but this is how Yahoo said it. The video was given to Yahoo News by a confidential source who discovered it in the online archives of World Wrestling Entertainment. So, a confidential source who has the WWE Network. I just love the idea of this, like, Deep Throat-esque meeting in a parking garage where they handed over VHF. It's like, no, they just went on the network and were like, hey, go to minute 15, like we do all the time. Which I just love the idea that, like, a confidential source had to give them this widely available video.
I was also a little frustrated in that, but at the same time, it's like, well, no one was smart enough to look closely, including us. And I know this sounds maybe a little crass, but maybe I just assumed in every photo when Donald Trump is with somebody that looks like a mobster, it is a mobster.
I mean, why is that crass? Are you worried about spreading the mobsters to listen to our podcast?
Kind of. You said alleged mobster. I think the guy's dead. It doesn't matter. I just think that it's
allegedly dead.
Allegedly. It's clearly, to me, it's like, yeah, this guy's a, He's a con artist. His entire life. Why would I look for specific other con artists? That's what he is. That's like if yeah. I'm watching. We should leak to the press that Donald Trump has participated in WrestleMania. I don't know if they understand this, but like, it's just so clear and obvious to us. And I didn't even think of like, oh yeah, they're in Atlantic City by choice on Easter Sunday. Yeah, there's mobsters everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, he was in construction business. He's in casino business. He's a generally a con man. Yeah, I know all these things. This is definitely a, you know, this is not surprising to anyone, but I just like that we could, for the people who still weren't getting it, you know, a week after the election, it's still, I don't mind the laughter, because when I say, oh, I co-wrote a book about how Donald Trump's a wrestler, the first reaction should be laughing, because this is very silly. But this stuff to tell people, not like, oh, you didn't read my book, but the fact that, like, in all the coverage of this, which there has been a lot, of his connections to wrestling, the people still don't go beyond it. But it was a good little reminder of Trump's connections, long connections to wrestling, and you know the kind of company that Trump keeps. You know, and as you said, Labuti is a reputed mob figure, reputedly dead. Trump's current friend, Peter Thiel, also made some headlines this week. He was, I believe, at the press club in conversation and in like a, you know, he was a special guest or something. And he basically, he said, quote, if you're a single-digit millionaire like Hulk Hogan, you have no effective access to our legal system. So as a reminder, Peter Thiel is the venture capitalist who bankrolled Hulk Hogan's lawsuit and other lawsuits to take down Gawker and other media organizations that he doesn't like. He was also a delegate at the RNC. And yeah, I mean, this is this great disconnect from reality. But I think once again, another reminder of like Hogan is only one or two degrees from Trump this year.
Yeah. I don't even think you need to say two. He's one degree away. He's one of them.
Yeah.
He's part of the biggest court case of 2016. Hands down.
Yeah.
At least when it comes to American politics and American media, the biggest court case, and there's no way around that, and his name happens to be Hulk Hogan, and his name happens to be Terry Bollea, and they are the same person playing two very different characters, the same way Donald Trump is the same person playing two very different characters.
Yeah, the Donald Trump in air quotes, you know, kind of like the Vince McMahon plays Mr. McMahon on TV. So Hogan's getting $31 million from Gawker. He was celebrating that on Twitter. I don't have the tweet handy, but it always does bother me that he signs all his tweets HH, which is not just the initials of Hulk Hogan, but it's also Heil Hitler. And if you know anything about Hulk Hogan in the last few years, that's also probably not a coincidence.
Sorry, before I step over your Billy Corgan transition, yet again, one really quick thing here that people should watch out for is Hulk Hogan, right before the tapes where he said the N-word came out, WWE took him out of the Hall of Fame, which doesn't actually exist. It's not an actual place. And they also scrubbed him from the website. Recently, maybe a month ago, they started to reintroduce...
Yeah, about a month ago.
They started to reintroduce Hulk Hogan into their video package clips to sell the network. So the WWE network available for $9.99 a month. You can see Donald Trump with all of his mobster friends at WrestleMania 4 and on. They have every single pay-per-view, every single Saturday Night Main Event, most old Raws and SmackDowns, etc. Hulk Hogan, literally the biggest part of that until this happened. So they're slowly reintroducing him because there's still a lot of money left on the table. A lot of people are racist and don't care about people that casually say the N-word. So that's where we're at right now, and it'll be very interesting to see, based on this election, if Trump wins, do they bring out Hogan even sooner? If Hillary wins, do they try to hide it, or do they bring back Hogan as a weird protest? Do they just keep Hogan off the site completely? Because at the end of the day, the WWE is an extremely diverse company, and they don't want to isolate any specific part of their audience. So I think that's an interesting thing to look out for that I don't think will receive any coverage.
No, it definitely won't, but it is one of those things. It was kind of unmistakable in, you know, one of their many ads for themselves when you hear a, you know, well, listen here, brother, when you hear a Hulk Hogan, you know, clip. But it's good. It's important to say also, like, them not running away from them. when we say he's like taken out of the fake Hall of Fame and all that stuff, like he's still on the network. They didn't Photoshop him out. There's, you know, Andre the Giant didn't body slam himself at WrestleMania 3 in front of 5 million people. He's still very much all over it, much like other, you know, undesirables, deplorables, like, you know, a family murderer like Chris Benoit. He's still on the network. You just have to try a little harder. But the other thing that's in that promo, which also is kind of interesting, is it features Triple H, Paul Levesque, one of the corporate officers of WWE from the Attitude Era, when he's in blackface, when he's dressed up as The Rock with a lot of tanner on. And it's not really noticeable. If you watch that full clip, which I just did recently when I'm rewatching the Attitude Era, you know, having X-Pac and Billy Gunn in literally blackface, like we're talking shoe polish, in 1998, and this is something that they put in their promo package of, like, look at how great we've been through the years. You know, the Hogan thing, I think, well, he'll be back, and then later, I think, just based on that, I think at a certain point, it's going to be, you know, a couple of years, the Gawker thing will be out of the headlines eventually, and, you know, the Hogan still draws, brother.
It's very odd. Once again, back to The Rock, the Hogan clip that's in that intro, the only time you actually see Hogan, you hear his voice more than once, is against The Rock. Maybe this is their weird attempt at racial unity. I don't know. Having the biggest wrestler of all time with the other biggest wrestler of all time makes it somewhat okay, and he happens to be black. I don't understand it. But, let's go backtrack a little bit. Hulk Hogan just won $31 million. Continue.
Yes, well, Billy Corgan, another probably a single-digit millionaire who might have less money these days. Billy Corgan lost his lawsuit against TNA, the I don't even want to call it rival company. It's another wrestling promotion. They said that, you know, he believed that if he didn't get paid the million or million something that he was owed, the agreement they had would cause the majority owner of TNA, Dixie Carter, to give her controlling stake to him. That didn't happen in the Tennessee courts. They did say that they had to pay him, though, which they've asked for a few more days to come up with the money. They got to shake out the couch cushions, look for like $1.4 million that he's clearly never going to see. It's funny. I thought, you know, last week you're talking, it was like, oh, well, you know, Corgan's got all these lawyers. Maybe he's not just a regular money mark. It's like, no, he's just another money mark. It's exactly what Dixie Carter's done with TNA. And the exact reason people who don't follow wrestling have never heard of TNA is because they're run by, a kind of incompetent carny, as opposed to the competent carnies that run the WWE. Corgan still says he's going to pursue it. He might get a 36% share, whatever it's going to be. This is not exactly how Billy Corgan's, how he thought his foray into wrestling would go, but it's kind of, anybody who follows wrestling probably saw this one come ways away.
So there's two lines of thought here. Number one, TNA is a valuable commodity and needs to exist because it makes WWE programming better. They had the best and most fun storyline of the year with the Broken Hardys. That's still going on. Maybe if they can't finance it, it's over. Anyways, they're relatively important. There is a positive for TNA. The negative is literally everything else. It's not a good company. It's not really well done. They just take whatever scraps the WWE has left over. They don't do a lot of great things other than have the Hardys do crazy stuff. That being said, Billy Corgan was going to save the company with vagaries. There's nothing to save. I'm going to save rock and roll. How? Oh, I'm going to put the guitar in drop D. That's how he was going to save rock and roll in 2000 with Machina. It wasn't, there's no reinventing the wheel here. The wheel exists because it works as a fucking wheel. Anyways, when Corgan took this over, whatever that even means, it was doomed to fail. You know, there was no way around that. This is exactly what should be happening. And this is exactly what you'd expect from somebody that appears on Alex Jones's InfoWars multiple times and considers Alex Jones a good dear friend.
Yeah, I mean, he surrounds himself with carnies and hucksters, and eventually surprised when the rat in the cage is you.
No, did you? I clearly did not watch Pop last night, so I did not watch TNA. I've read that they digitally edited him out. Did they actually do that?
I have no idea.
Okay,
I do not watch TNA unless they're doing Broken Hearty stuff, and I haven't been following the TNA stuff too closely since the lawsuit. So yeah, that would be interesting to see if they wasted some money they've been using to pay him on digitally removing him from a product that nobody watches. Just petty. Great.
Because in story, just for the listener at home, the storyline is no different than the WWE, because, you know, Billy Corgan is going to reinvent it. In addition to being an actual behind-the-scenes figure, he was a storyline figure as well.
Yes. And because that was his dream, you know, the boyhood dream is to be a authority figure on a third-rate wrestling promotion. You know, you should dream big. You should dream big, and you should be a star. And I said that because Be a Star is the WWE's anti-bullying campaign, which we like to make fun of because, you know, so many of their storylines amount to bullying, and this is one of the, you know, the ways that corporations win is through real charities and through real, like, public affairs that are, you know, public image kind of rehabs. And, you know, this comes up because Melania Trump this week was in the headlines that she was in this last stretch, you know, being a kind of trying to soften Donald's image. As we remember from the convention, she, you know, did some gimmick infringement and she stole Michelle Obama's speech. It also turns out that she's been using a line that was first used by Marla Maples about 5 years ago. So, I mean, they really need to figure out if a better gimmick for her other than she steals everyone's gimmick. But the thing is that she was laying out what she'll do if she's first lady, and it was a lot about, like, well, we got to get cyberbullying under control. And so, I mean, everyone's response has been like, you met your husband, right?
It's great. I absolutely adore this. This is a great way to set up a heel face first couple. And I think it's kind of necessary. We've never had this in the history of American politics. I guess that the closest wrestling analogy would be when Charlotte finally turned on Rick earlier this year. So Rick, in a way, became a good guy. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they're the closest thing probably to a wrestling couple is the Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth.
There you go. That's a good one.
He's a heel and she's a face, or she kind of, you know. But they put her out there to humanize this psychopath.
That's it. And then both of them are going to end up with a giant drug addiction and end up sleeping with Lex Luthor. So yeah, it'll make sense.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much how I see this. That's what the Gypsy Woman said will happen at the end of this campaign. The other thing that happened at the end of this campaign, and we've been talking about this for a while, and there has been a lot of speculation in the press, of what, you know, Donald does on November 9th. And I sent you something last night, I think I saw. So there's a Fox News reported that there is a casting call, basically, for an up-and-coming conservative news network. Did you see this?
I did see this. I think we should apply. We could get these gigs.
You just have to be like, you have to be like conservative and like sharp dressed, you know, men and women, probably white. I mean, I think we could probably do it.
I think we got this.
Yeah, I mean, everyone needs a plan after the election if you're not Hillary Clinton and you need a job. So, I mean, yeah. So 4 days out, you know, and Trump is clearly looking at beyond. I mean, the polls, for what they're worth at this point, seem to tighten. It's going to, you know, I think it's a nail biter. Even if the numbers look like there's only one path, you never know. This stuff, even in recent history, we know, like, it can go interesting ways at the last minute. What has Hillary done wrong in the last few weeks? And that's not like this piling on of her. What has she gotten wrong about Trump, and why is this even a close election?
Are you asking me a question?
Yes.
Seriously? Oh, yeah. She doesn't understand how to shut down a storyline.
Yeah.
Once again, she is the Roman Reigns of candidates. There's absolutely nothing wrong with her, but she can't figure out how to get the crowd behind her for reasons she will never understand.
Yeah. I mean, that's about right. I mean, the Roman... Go ahead.
All of this is based on emails. Literally every single thing. You know what doesn't actually matter? The emails. That's not a thing. They made up a thing that is brilliant. And she can't understand that because she's using logic. Logic doesn't work in wrestling. Logic doesn't work in this campaign. It never has. The fact that Trump is able to literally grab them by the pussy, literally, and that's now a thing that everyone knows, that's crazy. That should disqualify him from, like, having a job, let alone the highest job in the land. So if she's not able to shut that down instantly, of course she's not going to understand the email thing and can't possibly explain it. Sometimes it's actually easier and better to speak with single-syllable words, and Trump has the best words, and Hillary does not have the best words. And she's able to say things in a way that... because she's too educated and too experienced, can't possibly understand. You got to play to the cheap sheets, and she's never been able to do that.
Yeah, and I mean, I just think this, you know, we tried logic, and that's what I think is behind why we do this, and, you know, like, how we've made sense and how we haven't gone crazy in this election cycle is when there had to be another way to look at this guy other than, oh, we'll just do the same thing we've always done. We'll explain using facts and figures and charts why he's saying lies. But like you said, he's literally, how many disqualifying things has he done? I mean, the grab the pussy was the most recent and the one that should turn him off from 50% of the electorate.
Oh, Chris, sorry. That's not the most recent. That just happens to be the loudest. That's not the most recent. There's something every single day. The thing yesterday that happened was him breaking kayfabe all of a sudden at a rally and going, calm down, Donald. You got this, Donald. That's insane. That should also disqualify anyone from getting a job. If you were in a job interview and you were just like, I got this, Chris. You got this, Chris. In front of people in a microphone? That's insane. So, no, that's not the most recent thing. The most recent thing is happening right now, and we're going to be too late to cover it because that's what happens.
It's whatever
week.
He is doing at any current moment. It's like the Office Space thing where it's like every moment is the worst. Every day is like the worst day of my life, like that it gets worse like than the day before it. And it's really like that with the campaign where like today is the worst thing he's done because it's compounding interest. And I mean, just to not. For Hillary to, you know, kind of like Roman Reigns, go out there and go, hey, I got all the things you've wanted in a face champion, in a president. I got the look, I got the heritage, I've got the skills, I got the push, and then just have the audience rebel and key in on a few things. And then still, I mean, you still see Roman. He's been at going out in front of crowds and getting booed for like 2 years now and still doesn't know how to like lean into it. Shrug it off, turn the storyline into something else.
And it's the parallel is even better because in reality, he's related to The Rock, the greatest crowd reader in the history of wrestling. Clearly, he's the highest paid actor right now. He still gets the most money from the WWE. He might not make the most Cenamite with his deal, but just salary, The Rock still gets it. Who does Hillary have? She's got Bill, a guy that could read the room, that could make something complicated seem simple. It's the same exact thing with Hillary.
Yeah, and I mean, at this point, it's like not even like, what do you do? It's just too late. Like I said, this is the part where, and I'll let you come up with a wrestling analogy, but we're in the ground game. We're just like, I don't know, paper in the last seats at WrestleMania. Like we're not, this is just like, not going through the motions, but it really is just like there's no game-changing thing that's going to change this election. I mean, in early vote states, you know, a quarter of the electorate's already going to vote, or at least. I mean, this stuff is literally already in the – some of it's in the bag. It's not rigged, but it is in the – you know, anything that happens today will not affect a quarter of the vote in North Carolina, in Florida.
I don't know. You know, I mean, have you been following some of this voter suppression stuff? That could actually do it.
Well, I mean, if they just delete the votes, that would do it.
Listen, 2016 is the year of delete. We all know that.
Yeah, I think brother Matt Hardy made that clear. Try not to get your vote deleted, you know? You don't want to be broken.
I want to end on a more interesting sports note rather than WWE, which is the finest of sports.
Oh, did anything else happen in sports this week?
I don't know if you know.
I don't watch sports.
There's
but I just
a
watch
guy named CM Punk, and he's very happy right now because the Chicago Cubs are the 2016 World Series champions. That's pretty cool. Here's how this relates to the election. Number one, Hillary Clinton grew up just outside of Chicago in this place called Park Ridge. It's maybe 5 miles from Wrigley Field. She wished the Cubs congratulations on her Twitter right away. President Barack Hussein Obama, also from Chicago, Sox fan, but even so, he said, listen, I'm still a Sox fan. Go Cubs go. The Cubs win. He invites them to come to the White House while he's still in office. Class act move. The owners of the Cubs, the Ricketts, donated $5 million to the Scott Walker campaign in 2015. That didn't work out well. And then said, we're never Trump. And then Trump says, the Cubs suck. I got some info on you. And they're like, okay, we suck. And then bought him a shitload of ads during the World Series. And then Donald Trump didn't say anything on Twitter at all. Hillary Clinton said congrats. Barack Hussein Obama said congrats. And you know who else said congrats? The WWE. Tweeted out 20 hours ago, the Cubs are the latest champions to receive a very special custom WWE World Championship title. Congrats, Chicago. So, there you go.
With the nameplates and everything. Yeah, I saw that they love giving out their giant, basically World Series ring of a title belt to any team that'll take it.
And part
so, yeah,
of me
congratulations,
thinks,
Chicago.
I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure that a lot of this belt stuff started right after Punk left the company when they gave the belt to the Chicago Blackhawks.
Oh yeah, no, it's all been them being petty to CM Punk. Yeah, definitely.
But yeah, that's what's going on right now. So if you're a Cubs fan, oh, by the way, I want to make it clear that the Cubs have a daughter, Laura Ricketts, who is a big Hillary supporter and used to work for the Obama administration. So the family is a complete wash. It's like most of America. Whenever you think someone in your family is going to vote one way, the other person's going to vote the other way. None of this matters. As long as you're a straight white man, you're going to be fine.
That's been your message of the year.
Just like in wrestling, we're going to be fine, guys.
So
you got any predictions?
Tuesday can't. No fuck finish. I think Hillary goes over clean, but you know, maybe no interference. I think this is the blow off of the feud.
I'm gonna agree with a twist. Yeah, she wins clean. Trump still proclaims a dusty finish. One quick thing that we didn't cover that I definitely want to talk about is, Chris, do you know where the WWE is going to be recording Raw and SmackDown this week?
I will look it up. Do you know?
Yeah, Glasgow. Not in America.
Oh, yeah.
They're currently in Saudi Arabia doing house shows. Yeah, the WWE chose on the most important day of 2016 to stay away from American politics.
Yeah, they're literally, not as literally as far, but yeah. So it'll be pre-recorded on Tuesday. That's interesting. And this kind of goes to what we've been saying, like especially with the Rusev stuff, like U.S. title, and then very much not wanting to, you know, and as we covered last week I believe, of Vince saying, do not talk about Trump, even to former wrestlers.
So, basically, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if anyone brings a sign pro-Trump, anti-Trump, or Brexit-related.
I mean, if that's what you'll be watching on Tuesday, I don't know. I'm excited to see Alexa Bliss take on Becky Lynch finally. I mean, I think that's really the clear battle of Tuesday.